board, that would be a good idea. Everything's up to date regarding what's on the website for our classes. And thank you, Paige. And we are at the Gospel of Matthew on Sunday, and week 9 is the continuity of scripture class, Paige, and it's how do we know that Jesus is the Messiah? Well, that sounds pretty basic, doesn't it? And I want to take what you have so I can follow with you what I wrote out and have forgotten. No. So, why don't many Jewish people believe in Jesus?
They say that he didn't bring shalom, peace.
Yeah, that's a big factor there. He cannot be the Messiah because he didn't bring peace to the world. Okay.
Sorry, he's the king.
I'm sorry? I'm sorry?
He came as a baby, not as a king.
He came as a baby, not as a king. Right. And as I mentioned last week, my friend Wendy met a Jewish man in Trader Joe's, and they were following each other, it seemed. Yeah, it was last week I said this. And then when they got out to the parking lot, they were behind the same cashier, and they went out together. And so she asked, do you have a faith? And he had a black yarmulke on, which means he was pretty Orthodox. And he said, yeah, I do. And it was right after a synagogue had been attacked, perhaps the one in Pittsburgh or another one. And so, you know, she said that we were praying for the Jewish people, and they talked about that, and she said, what do you believe about Jesus? And he said, he doesn't fit our requirements, and our requirement being that he would have to be a warrior king, a conquering king, and to bring peace into the world. So, anything else, Richard?
To Caiaphas, the high priest, Jesus quoted a portion of Daniel 7 to Caiaphas. He didn't look like the guy on a cloud getting the kingdom from the Father. If he was an honest, maybe he was totally dishonest. Maybe he knew he was an Messiah, but he was going to take power anyways and kill this guy. but if he was honest, he'd say he doesn't comport with Daniel 7 right now.
Yeah, true, yeah. And it's interesting that Daniel 7, we're going to talk about that. Daniel 7, there are a lot of passages in the Old Testament about a warrior king, you know, a conquering king. And also the church, that's an obstacle. And I've told a lot of believers that Jewish people have more objection, or so it seems, to the church than they do to Jesus. Because there's now, and this is good for us to know, so that we are not pushed off, that we don't think we're going to be pushed off by the Jewish people, because there's something called the reclamation of Jesus in their thoughts. They're more now, Jewish people seem to be more now bashing Paul, the Apostle Paul. So Jesus they're more open to. And too, we have to remember that persecution did happen to the Jewish people. And we don't want to push that aside in our conversation with it. Like if it comes up, address it. And say, you know, I don't have all the answers for that, especially because the Holocaust comes up mostly. I don't have all the answers to that, but together we can go through scripture and see what God says. And I've said, you know what, there is many times a gross misperception of Jewish people on the part of Gentiles, but on the flip side, there's a gross misperception of Jesus on the part of the Jewish people. You know, let's be transparent. It's best to be transparent. But too, I was just talking to somebody recently who said that, well, in my house growing up Jewish, I wasn't even able to speak the name of Jesus. So you have that going. You have a lot of things going on. And let's face it, there is spiritual warfare going on when it comes to any Christian ministry. But there is, Satan has wanted to do away with the Messiah. And Satan, now that the Messiah has come, he wants to do away with the Jewish people, because all the promises that God made to the Jewish people then will just fall, and God doesn't, won't allow that. He delivers on all his promises, but Satan doesn't want that to happen. So there's some tough stuff going on. Okay. Last 2 weeks, we talked about four of the disciples, Peter, Andrew, James, and John, running after Jesus, asking him what he said about the temple, with one stone won't be upon the other. And he had told the people, told Jerusalem, I'm leaving, your house is left to you desolate, you won't see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And so the four disciples asked Jesus questions, and really they dovetailed those questions. When will these things be about the temple that you're telling us will happen, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? So what I'm going, why I'm mentioning it again, is because they had a knowledge enough to ask Jesus those questions. And we've talked about how the disciples did not believe that Jesus was going to go away. They didn't believe he was going to die, because we've seen that exchange between Jesus and Peter, when Peter said, oh no, you're not going to be killed, you know, when Jesus said, we're going to go to Jerusalem and I'm going to be crucified, I'm going to be risen from the dead, etc. And Jesus and Peter said, no, may it never be. So they didn't have that thought, because there's a word in the Greek when it talks about Jesus' second coming, it's parousia, and it was in the lesson that we had a couple weeks ago, and it means to be present. That's part of what it means, and to come in his full manifestation in all his glory. So the Jewish thought at that time was no death, he would just manifest himself as regarding all he is in his majesty and in his full glory. So that's, oh, thank you very much. Bye. Adios. So, but they had some knowledge. So it was in my mind in thinking about what we're going to do today. We were going to look at the tribulation, and I thought, that's so bleak, the tribulation. I don't believe we'll be here. I believe the rapture is going to happen before the tribulation, but I thought, I wondered, you know, with thinking about this regarding the disciples, that they had some knowledge. If we were to take a survey at Scottsdale Bible and ask people in at Scottsdale Bible, what do you believe about the Messiah? Why is Jesus called the Messiah? What do you think, and I'm asking you this first, this is not rhetorical, what do you think some answers might be that you might be thrown at you?
I don't know.
Okay. Yeah, I'm with you. I don't know. Yeah.
I said, how sad is that? But you're, because someone told me so.
Recently.
I mean, that would be an answer, because someone told me.
Oh.
I mean, you know, like, kind of in line
got
with
it.
That, but...
But I don't know what it...
I don't know why, yeah. But someone told me, so I believe it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know.
Oh, and that's kind of sad, isn't it? So I thought that this is what we would do. On your handout, and you can read this, take this home, and actually you're going to get a repeat in the handout I'm going to give you later. But you can fill out, you see where it says, what are some of the names and titles of the Messiah? We're going to talk about that. I'm going to put your answers on the board, all right? And you can write them down and take it with you. And then I'm going to give you some of the information we're going to cover in a two-page handout after. So remember to get that. Those will be filled in. But for now,
I think it was Dr. Jeremiah said this morning that there's a high percentage of people in the evangelical churches who still believe there's more than one way to get to heaven.
Yeah, I'm reading more and more of this. Did you hear what Pat said?
Yeah.
Yeah. That more and more evangelicals, a high percentage of evangelicals saying there's more than one way to get to heaven. And is there more than one way to get to heaven? No. No.
No.
No. No. So why do we believe in Messiah? I'm going to skip that. I'm going to go directly to that question, what are some of the names and titles of the Messiah? So tell me what you think. What are some of the names and titles? And just don't say Jesus.
Well, just go down the Messiah, the list, that Wonderful Counselor.
Oh, okay. So when you say the list, the list in that, in Isaiah 9:6. Oh, in the song. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Mighty God.
Okay.
Mighty God, Everlasting Father,
so,
Prince of Peace.
I'm just going to put Isaiah 9:6. Yeah, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Okay. So what does that say? You know, we could be singing it and singing it by rote. What does Mighty God mean? He's God, right? He's powerful. All powerful. Okay.
Emmanuel.
Okay. And what does that mean?
God with us.
Okay. I'll put God with us. Son of God. What does that mean?
He's part of the Trinity. Begotten.
Jehovah Jireh, which means?
I have
no idea. Oh, God provides.
God provides.
He's a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek.
Whoa, that's a mouthful, Richard. What does that mean?
Well, Melchizedek was around 4,000 years ago. His genealogy wasn't recorded, but he was a king and priest of the Most High God, and Abraham gave a tenth of all he had to him, so Melchizedek was considered greater than Abraham. That's a short answer. But that's a higher priesthood than Levi, because Levi was still in Abraham's loins. So that's a higher priesthood than the Levitical priesthood.
And also Melchizedek was a priest and a king, so there's a foreshadowing that Jesus would be priest and king. And I go into that a little bit in the handout that you have now. And it's important for us to realize that, in fact, look at your handout, middle of the page, why is Jesus called the Messiah? So it would be good, if you're going to take a survey, it'd be good to know the answers. You know, if they ask questions, etc., or that you could fill them in. In Matthew 1:16, we're told, "And Jacob begot Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom he was born, the Messiah was born of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ." Now, Christ is Greek for anointed. Messiah is Hebrew for anointed. We have to remember that, okay? So when we're saying Jesus Christ, we're saying also Jesus the Messiah. We're saying Jesus the anointed. What was the big deal about the anointing?
That was the sign.
Official.
That God had said, this one is
the chose him, right?
High priest anointed.
Yeah, for a special purpose. And yet there were three roles, I'll put it that way, in Judaism, in the Old Testament, I'll put it that way and not say Judaism, but in the Old Testament, that were anointed, and those were?
Prophet, priest, and king,
right. So they were chosen, set apart for a function that God had for them. Jesus fulfilled all three roles, prophet, priest, and king. As a prophet, prophets had a word for the people, from God, word, warning most of the time, but also telling them what God's desire is as well. Jesus is the Word. He is the Word. It says in John 1:1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And he is a priest, as Richard said, forever after the order of Melchizedek. Hebrews 7 also says about Melchizedek that he has no beginning and no end. Now, Melchizedek was a man. I don't believe he was a pre-incarnate appearance, because he was set in the community. He was king. And so usually pre-incarnate appearances of Jesus are not set in the community. They don't have a function in the community. Pre-incarnate appearances of Jesus is the angel of the Lord. It's himself. But Melchizedek would be after the order of Melchizedek, because the Levitical priesthood would be removed, would go away. It was temporary. Levitical priesthood was temporary. It says it in Galatians 3:19. Okay, and so we need to know that, just that little information. And he was king. So prophet, priest, king, he will be king. He's returning as king. But as a priest, he offered up a sacrifice, and that sacrifice was himself. Whoa, that's huge. That's amazing. And in some cases, there were people, and it's on the bottom of this page, Melchizedek was priest and king, as I said. David was prophet and king, a prophet and king, and Moses was a priest and a prophet. And there are others, too. You could always cross-reference. So so we have more, though, to, I'm sure we have more to communicate with each other about some names and titles of the Messiah.
Let's see,
did we
do Son of Man?
Yeah, we did Son of Man.
Mm-hmm.
Lamb of God, yes. Lamb of God.
Good Shepherd.
Good, yeah. Okay.
Son of David.
Son of David. Uh-huh. Good, great.
Some people in our culture might just see Jesus as coming as maybe God's son, devoid of any biblical background. These titles are so important, you know. This is... came as prophecy, you know.
Yeah, and the fulfilled word is important. Where are we finding most of this information? On the Old Testament.
Yeah.
So when people say, the Old Testament, we don't have to read it, etc., etc., that's, how would we know about Christmas? How would we know to recognize the one who was born in the manger, you know, born and laid in the manger in Bethlehem Ephrathah? How would we know that? How would we know anything about Easter? It's in the Old Testament. I mean, we read how it unfolded, of course, in the Gospels, but it's all based on prophecy. So, anything else?
King of kings.
King of
lords.
Okay. Okay. What about all the I Ams?
Oh, goodness,
how did
we forget those?
So, what are the I Ams?
Bread of life.
Bread of life.
Living water.
When Jesus said, I am. So, I am. I don't know if he said, I am living water.
Yeah, he did.
Is it?
Yeah, he did.
In John 7?
When he was with the woman at the well.
Oh, in John 4. I am. He did say that there?
I think that's right.
Okay. Because I thought, it's interesting, because I thought that there were six I Ams, and then John MacArthur said there are seven.
I think there's seven.
So, well, the bread of life, you said already. And where do we get that from? No, you know what I mean, like the connection. It would be, you know, how manna sustained the Jewish people, the children of Israel in the wilderness, Jesus sustains. And the light of the world.
What about the lily of the valley?
The lily of the valley? Is that in the Bible?
I think it's in a hymn.
Huh?
I think it's in a hymn.
You know what? It might be in Song of Solomon.
Oh.
Might be. But that's not, but as my, I don't think that that's an I am. This is what I have. But check out the one, the living water. That's where you're going, Michelle?
Yeah, you know, he didn't say it there. He talked about the light of the world. I am the light of the world.
In John 7, he said the light of the world. I'm pretty sure.
John.
Oh, no. John 8. It's John 8.
I am the light of the world.
Yeah. I thought John 7, because he was at the Feast of Tabernacles, and he said, anyone who is thirsty, come and admit to me. But does he say, I am the living? Okay.
He doesn't, because I would have it marked, and I don't.
Oh, okay. But I'm looking for the seventh one, because, okay, so I have bread of life.
I am the way.
Yes.
The truth and the life. Yeah, and that's John 14.
Oh, we already said that.
No, you didn't. We didn't. Mm-mm. But that's part of my six, so I want to see where there's a seventh one. That's where I'm going. Scott?
Yeah, I want to make sure you get this list of I Ams.
I am. Oh.
One.
I'm bread of life. Then, and that's John 6:35, and throughout that chapter, 41, 48, and 51.
I am the vine.
I am the true vine. And he said the true vine. And that's in John 15:1. And who was the vine?
Israel.
Israel was the vine. And that, but he was telling the people, the disciples, and this is right after their last Passover together, I am the true vine. He also said, and you, it's a good shepherd, and that's John 10. And in John 10, he has another I am. And I think you said it already. Someone said it already. I am the door.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. I am the door. And then I am the resurrection and the life. Mm-hmm. Okay. And John 11. And, you know, all of this goes back to teachings in the Old Testament. So, okay, we have priests forever. Do we have the angel of the Lord?
No, we didn't read that
term. Okay. I love that study on the angel of the Lord. And it's the angel of the Lord. Because you know what? The angel of the Lord, of course, distinguishes him. And we do not see the angel of the Lord in the New Testament. We only see the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament. Whoa. Okay. We see an angel of the Lord in the New Testament, but how come we don't see the angel of the Lord in the New Testament?
Because he's coming.
Because he came. He's here. He's Emmanuel. Right, right. So so those are the six I have, but Michelle, you're thinking there is a seventh one, right? Okay. Well, if you find it, when you find it. We have I am the good shepherd, the resurrection and the life, the door, the true vine, the light of the world, and the bread of life. Okay. Oh, did you get those, Scott? Okay. Bread of life, light of the world, and that's John. That's the one I was thinking of. Thank you. And that's John 8, I think. I think. The light of the world is John 8:12, Scott. The door is John 10:9. The good shepherd is John 10:11. Oh, and why would Jesus talk about himself being the good shepherd? Think Jewishly. Think Old Testament.
Well, Ezekiel mentions that God calls himself a good shepherd in Ezekiel.
But also in Ezekiel, God, yeah, it must be in the same chapter. It's Ezekiel 34 because he's railing on the Jewish religious leaders who are not fulfilling their responsibility as shepherds of their people. So
Abraham was John 8:58.
Six, something like that.
8:58.
Okay. So David said, I am that I am.
As Abraham was,
that's right.
I am.
Yeah. So that as Abraham was, I am is in John 8:58. Okay. That I'm sure that's the one that MacArthur meant.
What was that again?
8:58. As Abraham was, I am.
I'm sorry. John
8:58. Mm-hmm. And then, oh, you know what, Scott? I think I have it on this paper that I'm going to give to you. I'm sorry. Let me just see it.
I looked up Google.
Okay.
It says, I am statements of Jesus, the bread of life.
Okay.
Light of the world, door of the sheep, good shepherd, resurrection and the life, and the way, the truth, and the life. Oh. No water. I made that up.
Oh. But no, that's
there
okay. That's
a living water.
But does he say I am the living?
I think so.
Okay, that's what Michelle was saying too. But you haven't found it yet. But let's move on. Okay, so yes. Scott, we're down to resurrection and life. You have that, but it is going to be in the hand that I'm giving out. And the true vine is John 15:1. All right. The angel of the Lord. It's in the handout that I'm giving you, so I'm not going to give you all the verses, just speaking them. It's amazing. Who did the angel of the Lord first appear to?
Joshua? No, that was Abraham. Well, no.
Abram?
Yeah, you would talk about, well, thinking about doing Sodom in, you know, he was...
Oh, yeah.
One of those three people.
Right, but that doesn't say the angel...
Right.
Oh, but we think it is, because he appeared.
Yeah.
Whenever we see... I was talking to Bobby about this morning as we were coming down here. Whenever you see something like... and because we did this in our First Samuel 3 study the other day in Arcadia, then the Lord stood and spoke to Samuel. God doesn't have a body. So anytime you see that there's a physical explanation for God, just like he brought Abraham out to see the stars in Genesis 15, then I tend to think that that's a pre-incarnate, pre-Bethlehem appearance of Jesus. Okay?
So you're saying that that's the first one?
No.
The Bible?
No. When it actually says, you know what, thank you for asking that, Diane, because where is it that it says the words, the angel of the Lord came to... Oh, I'm just asking for who...
For sure, Elizabeth. Gideon.
No? Oh, what was that?
Elizabeth.
Uh-uh.
Moses?
The
what about?
Hagar.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
Hagar, you know? Isn't that interesting? And isn't that sweet? It's in Genesis 16. And he appears to her twice because he finds her in the wilderness first time and goes back and talks to her in the wilderness. So, yeah. And I love what it says in the book of Judges, Judges 13. It's about Samson, and the angel of the Lord came to Samson's his mother, before he was born, and said, you're going to have a child. So Mrs. whatever, I forget her name now, Manoah is one of them, I think that's the father. Samson's mother went to Samson's father and said, we're going to have a child. And she keeps giving him the same spiel, because the angel of the Lord keeps coming to the mother. And then finally, the father speaks to the angel of the Lord, and he said, what is your name? To the angel of the Lord. The father says to the angel of the Lord, what is your name? And the angel of the Lord says, why do you want to know my name? And then he says, the angel of the Lord says, because it is wonderful.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Mm-hmm. Counselor, you know, mighty God, everlasting Father. Yeah, it's so exciting. So, it is. It's just wonderful. So, you know what? And if you're taking a survey, how many of you have ever taken a survey? I have been saying this. Have you? Of course, Al, you would have taken a survey.
I took them. I was a youth pastor. And these are high school kids. And we're in Sunny Slope, Allen's Avenue.
Oh, okay. I know that church.
I had my high school kids team up in teams of two. And we sold bottles of recycled mouthwash.
Get out of here. This
so
is a ploy.
The deal was, they had three questions to ask the people that came to the door as they would switch.
Oh, my
one lady would,
gosh.
One girl would ask the questions, the other would grade her right next to her on a chart.
This was all under your say, what you instructed them to
yes,
do. Yeah,
yes.
Okay.
Well, I made this up. And they got points. We had a big prize for them, and it was worth like $100. So they really put the plow to the soil. But when they went out, if they could say the whole spiel without laughing, they got 5 points. And then if they could get through, and they got responses back, and the people gave responses, and were definitely interested in recycled bottle, they got another 5 points. But I think that surveys can be fun.
Yeah.
They don't have to be.
Right.
You can spice them up a little.
Yeah.
And while they're laughing, shove a little truth down their throat.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you're saying there might be, what's a good introduction for asking, who do you believe, why do you believe that Jesus is the Messiah? What's
I
a good?
I don't have one off the top of my
okay.
head.
Okay, well think of one. And let me know, okay? Well, you know what? You could just be celebratory about Christmas, saying this is such a wonderful time of year. How are you celebrating, etc.? And then, you know, we see so many programs in different churches and in schools about the season. So what has been your favorite? Something like that. You don't want to stand there for an hour with a person. But then say, why do you believe that Jesus is the Messiah? Or I guess the best thing to say first is, do you believe that Jesus is the Messiah? Okay.
Yeah. I would estimate at least half the families around this church are Jewish.
60% are.
60%, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So make it, whatever questions we come up with, I think it should be sensitive. You don't use words like church. Use congregation.
That's true, yes, but we're not going to go out there. That's the thing. That's what I have to talk to Rustin about, because I had talked to him about giving out flyers for the Hanukkah Christmas celebration, and I thought it was going to be in conjunction with this block party, but the block party is on Friday night. They're not gonna, these are ultra Orthodox, yeah, mostly, that live around here. So that's
60%.
Yeah. That's what we were told when we were giving out the Jesus film years ago when Bobby Brewer was here, and the Post woman said that the Jewish population here is 60%, right around this area.
Chabad's right there. It's very That's active.
Yeah, it's a Chabad. Like David said, it's an ultra-Orthodox synagogue, and you got to walk. If you're Jewish and attending that synagogue, you don't drive,
yeah,
so you have to walk.
I used to live in the apartments there. First transition.
Oh, wow.
You go there, and there'd just be tons of people walking.
Yeah.
With their talits.
With their what? Talit?
Yeah.
Talit?
All those strings.
Oh, the tzitzit. Tzitzit.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
With those. Yeah.
In Kathy, we have that synagogue, Tefillah. Something Tefillah on.
It's by Chaparral Church, right?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So that one's fairly new.
That's more Orthodox. They're not ultra, but they're Orthodox. It's
where does the ultra Orthodox?
At the Chabad, which is down on the corner of Scottsdale. Yeah, Shane Scottsdale. It's on the southeast corner. Where it's very eclectic center there.
Yes, it is. With the firearms and the. The Dairy Queen.
And London Gold is there.
Gold.
Yeah.
And you got a lot of spa, salons there.
Oh, the shop?
Yeah.
Jewish.
Well, there's Mazel Tov, the gift shop for the synagogue, for Chabad. And you have Kitchen 18, which is a kosher restaurant.
Hmm? Really
nice. Oh, and Edie Marshall.
Oh, yes.
Oh, Alan has a...
They had a mikvah, too. Is that the way you... Say where they submerge themselves,
mm-hmm.
Right there in Kabbalah.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what? I wonder if it just went in. But.
No, it was there.
Okay.
When I was sensitive to those things almost 10 years ago.
Okay, okay. Because, it doesn't surprise me that they would, since they're ultra-Orthodox. So, okay. Anything else before, I don't know what, before what, before we leave, because it's after 11. Out.
The reason I think that the Jewish people took to this area around Gingy,
I mean 10, yeah,
is because 60 years ago when they did Paradise Valley Country Club,
okay,
they excluded Jews, could not join.
Oh, wow.
So they all came, because I had some of my customers here, who were over half of my customers were Jewish, were in the painting industry, and they thronged to Gingy, to live in Gingy. And that country club that's in Gainey is replete with Jewish families. They have lots of... I live close by here. And you hear the bat mitzvah and the bat mitzvahs, celebrations, fireworks. They just love that.
But did you say that they were not allowed at the outset years ago?
At Paradise Valley.
Paradise Valley. Oh, Paradise Valley, and that's the Gainey. Okay, yeah. Well, and actually, I had heard that there's a church on Invergordon. It's called Calvary Church of the Valley. I think.
Yes.
And that they have little bungalows on their property because people, Jewish people, could not get a room at the bigger hotels in Paradise Valley. So they put them up. Yeah, how sad is that? So that's why that all enters into a question, why don't many Jewish people believe in Jesus? Now, the thing is, this is God's work. Salvation, you agree with me, is God's work. And there's also blindness in part. that God placed upon the Jewish people. It's a judicial blindness. And that remains, it's in part because there are many who have come to know the Lord. Praise God. And yes, Sam.
Would you mind sharing your success with conversion or helping them to accept Jesus? Do you feel that you've had a good success rate?
There have been many, and it's really, it's funny. Well, I won't go into the background, but to show you how open they are, there's a young girl who's going to Moody Bible College, and she lives here in Phoenix. So when she was back here home for summer, she had to, per her missions class at Moody, follow around a missionary. So she asked if she could follow me around. And we went to the different retirement centers. I was careful, very careful, about where I took her to individual Jewish people, because I don't want them to think that I'm thinking of them as a project. All right. But anyway, Darlene followed me around, and at the end of the summer, she said, I always thought Jewish people were the hardest people to tell Jesus, to tell about Jesus. She said, it's the easiest. They're the easiest because you tell from the Old Testament. Huh?
Because they have the background of it.
Yeah, yeah. And you know what? There are some who will not pay attention. Like the woman I mentioned, and I won't say her name again, but in prayer, I've known her for about 5 years. I met her at one of the Hanukkah Christmas celebrations, and we talk maybe twice a month, and I'm always sharing Jesus. But I could, on the phone, I could still see wall, you know. Mm-hmm. And she'll say certain things, like she's listening. Well, the other day she really listened, because the time before that she cut me off on the phone, and when I was talking about Jesus. But it started with talking about the elections. And she votes the way I vote. Okay, so we were commiserating. And then she said, I think that there's going to be a Holocaust in the future. It's interesting. She said, not in our day, not in our children's day, not in our grandchildren's day. That's very interesting. I said, well, it's coming. It's coming sooner than you think. And it talks about it in the Bible, in the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation. And then we got into the rapture. So I shared with her that Jesus is going to return. And she'll say all the time, Jesus was a rabbi, and Jesus only came to fix a few things. So I said, no, I said he came to die.
Some really big pews.
Yeah. So I said, and I used her name, I said, he's God. And the Messiah, God told the Jewish people that the Messiah who would be coming is God. And you see it in Psalm 2, and that's in the handout too. And you see it in, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. You see it in Emmanuel, God in the flesh. So, and you could have heard a pin drop on her side. In fact, I wondered if she was still there, but she was. And we went into a lot of different comments, taking it Jewishly, making that connection between the Old Testament and the New Testament. That's going to bode better than, in my mind, but God knows. I mean, I was in a Bible study, and there was one Jewish woman that was there, along with some Gentiles, and the Jewish woman was not yet a believer. And we were just talking about the Shema, the prayer, Shema Yisrael, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And this Jewish woman, young Jewish woman, accepted the Lord that night. She said, I've heard that prayer. It's their prayer. I've heard that prayer. And God just impacted me with who he is. And we might have said in that prayer, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. The Trinity shines in those verses. And the word for one is echad, which means it's a composite unity, not an absolute unity. Something simple like that. Diane?
Do you use, I try to avoid Trinity.
I don't usually mention the Trinity, but you know,
is unity. The word unity.
Plurality. There's a plurality about the Godhead. You see it in the very beginning in Genesis 1, 1 through 3. You know, you see a Trinity in the very beginning. Right. But you know what? I figure go for the gusto at this point. Because the other day when we had the Arcadia study, I was talking about the angel of the Lord being a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus. You know what? Time is short. And we've been meeting, and just go for it. Just go for it. And with compassion and with love, and say, you know, we've often told the Jewish people, we want to be with you in heaven. When you die, when we die, we want to be with you in heaven. And also, we're telling them now about the rapture. We say, you know, if we don't show up one day at this Bible study, guess where we are? We're with Jesus, and you can be too. No, I mean, and we're the chosen is being shown at a CR point, so I didn't say that, though, did I? Anyway, I'm trying to think of Passover Seder is a great teaching. And we might do this teaching, I'm not sure, the Tower of the Flock. I taught it at the Tuesday morning class where I believe Jesus was born. It's, you know, speculation, but I believe that there's some biblical support for it. Praise God, when this woman in our class, she came up to me afterwards, she said, I was reading my lesson for today, she was reading it prior to, and I was in Mayo, and I'm turning this off.